I know we often talk about big pyramid, but can we talk about big wireless for a second? If after years of overpaying for wireless, you're finally fed up from those wildly high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote-unquote free perks that actually cost more in the long run, why not switch to Mint Mobile and keep your money where you can see it? Mint Mobile is here to rescue you from big wireless with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can even use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number, along with all of your contacts. It's a snap to switch. So ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/aftermlm. That's mintmobile.com/aftermlm. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. It's February, which means Valentine's Day and my birthday are right around the corner. It might be the shortest month, but it's the best month. And if you're anything like me, you want the look and feel of luxury without the price tag. And y'all know, Quince is my one-stop shop for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Be still, my little Pisces heart. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices that are totally within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, a favorite of me and Mr. F for sure, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. And then my newest obsession, their stylish packing cubes that make prepping for a weekend getaway a breeze. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with safe, ethical, and responsible factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us, meaning that you can look and feel like $1 million without breaking the bank, something that definitely doesn't happen in MLM. Give yourself the luxury that you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/MLM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MLM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MLM. Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real-life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates, as we debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, frauds, scams, and multi-level marketing. Hey, Hunbots and Hunbros. I hope you guys are enjoying the holiday season. I'm just plugging along over here, trying to avoid getting a cold or some sort of weird sickness because of the weather change. And just kind of taking it easy. So I'm sorry you haven't seen me on social media. I'm just kind of in my hermit era. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. We're back to another MLM episode, and we're talking Smart Circle and door-to-door sales during the recession of 2007-2008. And also, what sort of red flags to look for when looking at job listings online. We'll see you next week and enjoy this episode. Welcome back to another episode of Life After MLM. We're going to be talking today about an MLM we've talked about before, But it bears repeating because we got to tell these stories. They're important to tell, and it's a little bit different. And my guest was like, I binged the whole series, the whole show. I'm all caught up, and you've never talked about this thing that I was involved in. And I was like, oh my God, let's talk about it. So today I have Deanne McMahon, and we are going to be talking about Smart Circle, but not just Smart Circle as we know it from previous episodes. We're talking about door-to-door coupon sales. And I am so excited to learn how this MLM works. And also, if any of you guys ever experience this, I want to hear about it in the comment section as well. But welcome to the show, Deanne. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much. I'm, of course, like everyone else, so excited to talk to you and get my story out, especially since, like I said, I'm like no one else. This was like a huge thing in the area that I was in. So it's crazy that no one else has even wanted to talk about it. Maybe they want to just put it behind them like I did.
Absolutely. So what's so interesting is when you told me like coupon sales, my mind immediately went to those entertainment books. And you said, it's kind of like that, but not really. They're cards. They're a little different. I also had an experience with one of these discount cards. I didn't buy it. I was gifted it because it was a school fundraiser and someone's like, hey, I bought a bunch to support the kids. Here's one. And so I'm really excited to learn like the origins of these things, how they work, the whole point of this. And it's interesting because I remember the entertainment books and these cards being really popular in like the late 90s and then into the 2000s. And that's sort of the same exact time that you were in this. So very interesting. But the other thing that we're going to talk about and the other juxtaposition that I want us to be really aware of when we're telling this story is this happened in 2007, 2008 during the financial and housing crisis. When everybody was, we were in a recession, it was real bad. Everybody is sort of suffering and worrying and scrambling for money. And you're going door to door selling coupon cards. So.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting thing. Living the dream, full-time job. Would you like to buy a coupon? So let's get into this. Let's talk about where you were in your life, where you were living, what your life looked like, and the different vulnerabilities that you encountered that made you think, hey, let's find a job and that this one was a good one for you.
So I was living in Austin, Texas at the time. I had moved there from Kansas because I graduated college. I wanted to do this AmeriCorps thing. That ended terribly for me. And I ended up through a series of events. Unfortunately, also at this time, the roommate I had was, I came home one day and she said I stole her medicine and all her money, but I was like out of the house. So I had nowhere to live. And then, you know, things just weren't falling into place. I had a short job here and there. So at the time, I was literally in a new place with like just a couple of friends that I was lucky to get a tribe. They are a blessing to me forever. We still connect. But throughout that time, then I was just kind of living where I could or staying in a hotel while I'm a college graduate. I have a Spanish degree. And so everyone's like, why aren't you getting a job? Like, this is crazy. You're in Texas. You're bilingual. Like, you're not getting jobs at hospitals. They were telling me banks. I applied. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't get a job at McDonald's. It was like probably the most heartbreaking thing because, you know, we went to school, go to school, work hard, get good grades, get your scholarship, get your degree. You're going to get a good paying job. And I just couldn't. I couldn't. It was like probably I was one of the first people to be like, our dream was broken. Like I knew since back then. I'm like, our dream failed us. But anyway, in the meantime, I'm looking for jobs on Craigslist. Because at that time, that was actually one of the biggest places to find a job. So I was like, just looking, applying here, applying there, you know, anything, restaurants, anything at that time. When you're desperate, you're desperate. But you're also still looking for a professional job. And I see an ad looking for college degree, you know, young graduates, up and coming people. We want leaders. We do all this major marketing and we need the right people for the right job. The marketing, the people they were talking about marketing were like Verizon, McDonald's, AT&T, T-Mobile, Samsung, big names. You're like, oh my gosh, this is like a real job. Like I'm going to go in here and like, I'm dressing up. Like this is exciting to me, right?
Yeah, it seems very real.
Yeah, like this isn't like just some random like, come apply if you have a degree. It's very professional, you know, business attire. All my emails were very, you know, we look very much forward to meeting you. This is what it's going to look like. All that stuff to get to the interview. Very exciting because I'm like, I'm finally going to get a real job.
Yeah. And you're reading this thing and there's no red flags jumping out at you. You're seeing legitimate brands, brands that you use, places you shop, brands that you love. And you're like, I would love to work in marketing. Marketing, wow.
This is amazing. And it says no experience necessary. We will train you.
And they're looking for college graduates specifically.
College graduates specifically.
So educated, but like not a lot of life experience yet.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So we've got this like soup going, right?
We got a whole storm of brewing.
Yeah, we've got some college graduates looking for jobs.
It's exciting. I'm like, okay, cool. This means I'm going to learn a lot. I'm going to get mentored. I'm going to learn an industry I want to know about, but really didn't have the money to spend in college to know about. But like, this can really be something. And let me go check it out. Let me apply. Let me check it out.
Yeah. Well, and then also your degree is in Spanish. So you're bilingual and you live in Texas. A Spanish degree is great in Texas. Same here in California. My daughter has been in 9 years of immersion and she's super bilingual. And that for me was always like, this is good for you later on. You can get a better paying job. More doors are open to you. So you being like, I'm bilingual. I've got this degree. I can do this. I can do marketing. You just teach me how. They say no experience necessary. We'll teach you. And you're thinking, like, I can talk in English and in Spanish. My bucket just doubled. Like my net is bigger than other people because I have this additional special skill to help with this job. So I can 100% feel the energy and like the excitement that you must have felt after not being able to find a job with a college degree. And, you know, the economy's not doing so great. And you're like, this is perfect.
This is exactly what they're looking for. They're looking for me. They just haven't found me yet. Like I did DECA in high school. I just didn't, you know, like I said, with the college didn't work out. I'm still interested in business and marketing. Like this is great. This is great. Already before I'm there, I'm hyped up on the job. I'm ready to go.
Totally. So let's talk about that job, right? You apply for it. You get an interview.
Let me tell you about the interview. All right.
Okay. Let's talk about this interview.
So I go to an office. It's in a not so great neighborhood, in like a middle office. There's dirty carpet, mixed match office chairs. It's just an old office building. Even the office I interviewed in had like maybe like two pictures on the wall. Like it didn't, I had an office. It didn't look like a person who owned a business's office. Okay. But me, I'm like, it's okay. Everything's great. This is what they're looking for. And they're like, basically everything they said in the ad is what they said in the interview. You know, why do you think you'd be good at this job? Oh, everything I just said, I'm a people person. I was in a sorority. Like I talked, you know, did all this volunteering, blah, blah, blah. All the things. But I'm literally in the most dingiest office. And they're talking about, you know, we're going to make millions here. And I'm like, well, maybe this is, I'm such an empathetic person. So I'm just like, well, maybe they're just starting out here. And this is, you know, this is just how we have to start out. We just start out bad. That's how small businesses work, right?
So you're seeing these red flags and you're making excuses for them immediately. You're like, maybe they don't know what they're doing yet because they're so new. Maybe they're saving money on this office because they don't really need an office except for interviews. Whatever these excuses are that you're seeing.
Yeah, I just am like, okay, but everybody that's working there dressed in a suit. Dressed in a uniform, like a business attire, not business casual, business professional. So that's where the dismissal, those are like the dismissals of the red flags. Cause I'm like, oh, okay, well, that seems fine. They have an order. They're taking phone calls. They're, you know, business as usual, except for it's in a really dingy office for somewhere who's like doing this high level marketing. You would think, right? But I'm a college graduate. I don't know anything. I'm new. And I'm also new to Texas. So I really don't know very much at all. But turns out they were new to the area, the company that they named their company. through Smart Circle was Grace Marketing. So the guy that was my upline, the boss of that area, that's what he named it. And he was like, I'm looking for people just like you. Come back tomorrow and, you know, wait for an email from us. They did it professional. You know, we think this might be a good fit for you, but we're going to discuss it and, you know, let you know.
Okay. Seems pretty standard, except for the red flags, but there was a lot of green flags that sort of canceled out the red flags. You're like, dingy office, but a nice suit. Kind of weird, but they're making phone calls and people seem to be making money here. And
old computers.
Oh, old computers.
But it was an old computer. I feel like even for that time, it seemed like everything was old. Everything was dingy. Like, they just found some place that they could afford. And basically, I find out later, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So for everybody here now in the future that's listening, if you're looking for a job right now, this this sort of stuff would be a red flag. Definitely pay attention to this.
Pay attention to where you're interviewing. We can talk about that later because I have some other things that I've learned over time with these job scams. Like, you know, they're offering me a job. So I am like, this is great because I need money. They're like, we train you and we pay you daily. Oh my God, great. I have literally $10. My mom can't, like, I'm on my own. So at this time, I'm also kind of like, if they offer me the job, no matter what it is, I have to take it because I don't have any other options.
Right. If nothing but a placeholder, at least this is a job while I continue to try to find a better job.
Right. This will be fine. And I can't remember if it's during the interview or after I get hired, but I mean, I got hired within like 2 days. I think I was working by like the third or fourth day or something like that. They tell me like about the morning meetings and the hours end up being like 9 to 9.
Dang. Now I have a question for you. When they're telling you about this job, like before you accept it, are they saying we're going to be paying you hourly? You're going to be an hourly rate, or is it a commission based? Like what were they saying your payment would be? Cause you're getting paid daily.
Right. So they basically, on hiring, it's like you're going to get paid between $400 to $600 weekly or more. You could earn more, but that should be your average, which at the time was like 10 bucks an hour. That's good money.
Right. At the time, I mean, nowadays you can work flipping burgers and make 20 bucks an hour and have much more livable wage. But I mean, we're in 2007. So I remember like $7, $8, $9 is what you're getting. You're not even breaking double digits on hourly rates back then.
I was excited for $10 an hour. I remember being like $600 a week. Like that's my rent. Then I don't have to worry about nothing else. Rent used to be $600, guys.
Yeah, rent used to be a lot cheaper too.
And just thinking like, and that's it. Then I have so much money. Like I'd have so much money. When you are poor growing up, anything a little bit over enough is a lot. So I was just excited. So they do email me back and they ask me to come in for training. This was my other red flag, but we're just going to bypass that for now. The training is you go on the road with them. You go wherever they go, whatever neighborhood that they've mapped out to go to, and you learn how to sell the coupons.
By basically shadowing them.
I'm shadowing them. Again, it's Texas. It's 100 plus degrees. It's humid. I'm in business professional clothes. So is everybody else. And I'm just like, okay, well, this is what I have. This is literally the only job that called me. Job, quote unquote. I'm like, all right, I have to do it. Even the guy was like, this job sucks. We're going to go house to house. We're going to sell coupons. And he was like, if I was you, I wouldn't do it. I was like, I have no other choice. Like, I literally looked at him and was like, please take me. I have no other choice. You have to take me. You have to show me how to do this.
But I mean, just that vulnerability right there. I have nothing else. I have to do this. Even with him saying, I wouldn't do it if I were you. It's kind of not good.
Yeah. I was like, but I want to build my team. Like, I want to have my own business. And he was just like, okay. Like, he was just like, okay, like, I get it. He was like, it just sucks. Like, you look like you could just do anything else but this. And I was like, honestly, I can't. I was like, I can't. We're going to get on to the story. I was training with another girl. They actually ended up getting married later, but he wanted to just train with her alone. Like he just wanted to spend the day with her. So he was like, I was just brutally honest with you because I just didn't want to hear you complain because it was hot. And then I also just wanted to hang out with Sarah. And I was like, well, I still had no choice, whatever. And come to find out later, like, he has to pay us.
Oh, right. Yeah, he didn't want a mouthy third wheel on his potential date with his now wife.
Now, whatever. I don't know. I didn't keep up with them, but I know they did end up getting married and having kids. He's the one that took me, and his name was James, and it was Sarah. And we went to about an hour away to a random town, and they're like, all right, we're going to sell these. Follow me. I'm going to show you guys what we're going to do. We would sit in the car. We would look at a map of the neighborhood, like old school maps, guys. And then we would like track out which houses. We would actually just do a walkthrough. And then they had gotten to the point, of course, where they're like, oh, there's kids there, so we know this. Or, you know, they were good. They had their personable skills. They're like, oh, we don't go to houses with dogs. Like, we don't do this. We don't do that. Certain things that you know, if it says no soliciting, just keep on going. Don't even stop. Or some people were like, oh, we're not soliciting. We're offering you something. You're still soliciting. So, like, it would be up to you what you want to do in that situation. Oh, they have a wreath on their door, so it's probably a family. So they'll probably want the movie tickets. Like, they had gotten good at, like, identifying these little factors. So they were just telling us, like, stuff like that. And they're like, well, we would be at the office at 9 to do our rah-rah parade. So I don't remember if I did that for my training. I don't think I did. I think I just showed up. They said, this is what we're doing. And then we went out. Did that for the full day. Full day. And it was like, once you're with us, you're with us, because we were an hour away. So you have to eat out, like, all that's your expenses. Like, I'm like, no, I'm cool. Like, I'm just going to eat nothing because I don't have money. And then we just went door to door. Hey, and then, you know, practicing the pitch with each other, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was at that time. But one of them we did do was the oil changes. So I think it was 4 oil changes for maybe $30. So we would pitch it like you would anything else. Hey, not trying to really bother you today, knocking on the doors. There are certain times, you know, we would take our lunch break like 4 to 6.
When people are having dinner, so that you're not bothering them when they're not going to answer the door.
Exactly. Like, you know, when people aren't home, but we would knock on doors and we would have our little list, X for if we got to them, or X if they weren't there, check mark if we talked to them. And we would have to show what houses that we went to. So if they were like, that neighborhood was hot, we didn't hit every house, we can go back.
Oh, we ran out of time. We need to go back. There's a lot of neighbors in there who need coupons.
There's still a lot of neighbors we never got to.
Okay, let's talk about these coupons really quick. So we know in MLMs, products most likely inconsequential. It doesn't really matter. It's a placeholder for money. Sometimes the products are great. You know, sometimes it's a great lotion or a great face cream or whatever that people are like, I can't live without it, Roberta. I need a dupe. What do I do? So let's talk about these coupon cards and what they are so that anybody listening who's like, wait a second, I think I bought one of these, can feel all this shame that I'm feeling right now because I definitely had one of these cards.
Somebody got paid $10 for that, just so you guys know. So it is exactly not the whole big, huge booklet, maybe like a miniature version of the card, but it was more like a 5x7 card usually. And it would be for mostly local places, kind of like Groupon, maybe. I would actually consider it more like a Groupon door-to-door. Oil changes at Jiffy Lube or whatever, half off. That's basically what it is. It's like a Groupon. We had ones from Burger King. We had oil changes. We did a movie theater one. So it would be like buy a popcorn, get 2 drinks free or whatever. And then whatever else they would throw at us, I can't really remember. I wasn't there for very long, but it was just those types of things that you might see a Boy Scout sell to you, like, but it won't be for different places. It would just be for one specific place. I would like to say, like, I compare it to when you get your weekly ad and you go through there and you see some coupons and you're like, oh, you know, 3 rooms for the price of 4 shampooing, something like that, but like a whole card of them. So if it would normally be $129, they might say, oh, well, we have 3 of them and we're only going to charge you $129, but we'll come 3 times, kind of thing. So we're selling, like, the deals were usually good. Like, you weren't getting scammed on the deals. It's more the employees are getting scammed through the work.
Right. And you're not getting scammed on the deals if you're using the card.
if you're using the card, I mean, we all know we've bought and stuff and we're like, yeah, of course I'm going to use this. Never. I used it once, maybe, whatever. It's so that they are making money, of course. I don't know how they got through the market, how we got the cards. Like, they were just sent from corporate, wherever that is, wherever the main office was, to our upline business owner. And then he would say, these are our deals this week. This is what we're marketing this week. And then that's what we would get. So it is a coupon card. You might have gotten sold one, but it's not, like, I don't think anybody's getting scammed, because, like, you can go to Burger King. I did it. We, like, stole one and went to Burger King and used it, and they were just like, here you go. And then we would find stuff out, like, they don't even, like, snap your card. They don't even check your card. You can use it for as long as you want. Like, we would try to help ourselves sell whatever we could, because we're like, it is a good deal, but also, this was cash only. We are not in debit credit time.
Oh, cash only.
Yeah. So we're literally like, do you have cash right now? Like, we still weren't, like, super at that time debit card friendly in the whole world, but people weren't really carrying cash around either anymore. Everything was going to direct deposit. So even if you get, let's say the movie theater one might be 2 free movie tickets plus some other things. And then it might even say 20% off of concessions for whatever the time of the card. Okay. So you might pay $40 for that. Do you even have the $40 in cash? And then they're like, no, can you come back later? Like, it's just like a kid fundraising. You're like, we'll be back later tonight. So that's why we try to hit them in the morning at lunchtime. People come home for lunch, try to get all those people. So when they come home from work, they have the cash. It's so embarrassing.
Wow. Yeah, the card that I had was for Jamba Juice. And it was like, buy a smoothie, get a smoothie free. Like, for every smoothie you buy, you'd get a second smoothie. So 2 smoothies for the price of 1. And it was like, that's a good deal. But I don't really go there that often.
I think I sold that one. That actually sounds so familiar. And it'd be like $20.
Yeah. It was like $20. And I think it was like, you get 6. But I think my friend was like, you can use it until they say no, that you just don't use it anymore. But I was like, I don't even go to Jamba Juice, let alone need 2 when I go to Jamba Juice. I think I've been there once in the last year. And it's just because it was next door to the bagel place and I wanted orange juice. Like, that was it. So it wouldn't have even worked for my card.
I would say 50% of them were like ones people would actually use. And then 50% of them were just stupid. Like, no one's buying this. No one cares about whatever this dry cleaners. No one's dry cleaning anymore or things like that.
I mean, the oil change in the movie theater one makes sense, right? Got to get your oil changed.
When we got those, we were like, oh my God, we're going to make so much money. We get hyped up at the morning meetings. So they're like, guess what we got? We got Regal, which was, you know, still not Cinemark, but it's still like a big one. So we're like, okay, we can use something with this. Like, people will want this. People would tell us, I go to a specific place for my oil change. I don't need this. You get discouraged anyway when you're in marketing and sales every time you hear a no. Duh. So you're just like, okay, well, maybe if they got like a Jiffy Lube one, we could do better. I'm naturally good at talking to people. I don't have to really work to sell anything. But if you tell me no, I'm actually not right now. If you tell me no, all right, no, cool. I'm not going to talk to you again. Like, I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to do all that.
Right. Okay. So the deals just would randomly change based on whatever sort of deal that was going on. And the meeting was like, we got Jiffy Lube, we got Burger King, we got movie theaters. Have a great day. See you later.
See ya. But we wouldn't get all of those at the same time. We just get one.
Oh, just one.
So like, we're all working Burger King right now. Like, that's all we're doing. We're all selling the Burger King card, or this half selling the Burger King card. And then my top sellers are going to go try to sell this card because it's new. We're going to see how it does. And then we'll let you guys know and come back. And then until we get told not to sell that card anymore or whatever. Yeah, we're not all selling different cards or having like a group of cards you can sell. It's only one business at a time.
How interesting. I wonder if there's a reason for that, because it seems like it would be more profitable for the door-to-door salespeople going to these neighborhoods to have sort of like a catalog of discounts. Like, here are the 10 cards we are currently having for our spring season. We've got all these different things. They're great, because somebody might go, oh, I go to Burger King every day. It's my favorite. Free fries? Done. Burger King. And let's do, oh, you know what? My kids love the movies. Let's do a movie theater card. And hey, got to get an oil change. Let's do it. Like, I mean, it seems like if you've got these really great deals, to have a bunch of them would be a lot more profitable because then people might buy multiple, like selling magazines or something, right? If you're literally going around the neighborhood and saying, hi, I'm selling magazine and it's Time, people are like, I don't really read Time magazine. Thanks anyway. But if you have a whole catalog of magazines, there's a bigger probability that somebody's going to find one or two things that they want. So I wonder if there is some sort of legal distinction, like through the deals, like
has to be some sort of competing or something going on, because we also would not continue to go back to the same neighborhood. So like if we had the Burger King card and we worked A and B Street all this week, next week, we're not going to go back and do the Jiffy Lube card there. We're just going to go hit a whole nother neighborhood. And there had to be something like we had to sell it a certain place or something, because we would take road trips. I went on two, and like we would go do the exact same thing in another. I went to Tyler, Texas, y'all, to sell movie theater coupons.
And how far? I'm not from Texas. I know it's big though. How far is Austin from Tyler?
Look, I don't really remember, but at least 2 to 3 hours. And that's our gas. No one's paying us gas money to go up there. We all have to pitch in. We're all staying. We didn't all stay in one room. We kept it PC. Girls stayed in one room. Boys stayed in one room. But we had to pay for that, which that's when the red flags kind of started kicking in. But you're like, okay, when you go on work trips, you don't pay for gas. I knew that. I'm like, you don't pay for your own food. You don't pay for your room.
I don't know if you know this or not, but our laundry room is in our basement. It's down a tight flight of stairs that freaks me out even when I'm not taking down heavy loads of dirty clothes with me. Switching out our heavy, big box store sized plastic tubs and bottles for our EarthBreeze eco-friendly plastic-free envelopes has eliminated not only extra weight heading down those stairs, but also cuts down on our plastic waste. We are a house that recycles, and you'd think that those bottles would be easily recyclable, but 500 million of them end up in landfills and oceans every single year. That alone is an incredible incentive to switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. It's an easy way to get amazingly clean clothes without all that plastic waste, delivered right to your door. Get 40% off EarthBreeze when you sign up for auto shipments at earthbreeze.com/MLM. That's earthbreeze.com/MLM. If you have young kids like me, a new year is another chance to do all of the amazing things that you didn't get to do the year before. That epic family trip, an incredible themed party, checking off a bucket list item, or dare I say it, another year closer to getting a phone. With the power of phones today, when it was time to get Abby one, I was pretty nervous about it. I have to be chronically online for my job, and I've seen some of the worst of the worst when it comes to content that comes across kids' feeds. Luckily, with Gab, there's a less nerve-wracking way. No social media apps, no internet browser, and GPS tracking. Gab devices were built specifically to keep kids and teens safely connected. They are the leader in safe phones and watches for kids, teens, and tweens, and it's easy to see why. As a parent, the Gab Companion app is a lifesaver. With parental controls, message monitoring, safe zones, and usage logs, you can manage their devices and monitor their location without ever having to bother them. And on Abby's watch, focus mode comes in handy when she's prepping and studying for not only school, but all of her extracurriculars too. Right now, Gab is offering $25 off any device with no contract required. Just go to gab.com/MLM to get started. That's Gab, GABB.com/MLM. Gab.com/MLM. Terms and conditions apply.
Business trips would have stipends. You might have to pay up front, but you bring receipts back and they give you petty cash and they say, here's the $50 for your, you know, your stipend for food and here's for the room. Or it's prepaid and you show up and it's already ready to go and you just check in and the company is prepaid. So that's very strange. Very MLM-y to have to do it all on your own.
Very MLM-y, but whatever. But so yeah, the cards, there is no rhyme reason system. They would just be like, we're going to go to UT today and try to sell these cards. Okay, I guess we're going to UT to, you know, UT to try sell these cards. Or you guys are going to go northwest and you're going to go up and like an hour away and try to sell these cards. We haven't hit those neighborhoods yet. I don't know the rhyme or reason. They might have told me. It was a very long time ago, and I don't remember. But we had contracts. We had certain things. I know that not my upline, but his upline, who he came down with, they were on a team together. I know that he was constantly trying to work on deals. I don't know who he's working with and all the phone calls he had to take. I didn't make it that far. I only made it to my training, saying yes and dealing with the ups and downs. I don't even know why I didn't think like 9 to 9 wasn't a red flag. But on my first day when I show up and they're all like, all right, it's time for a meeting, let's go. And it's all rah, rah, rah. Like, you get hyped up every single day to be at work until you get burnt out. Every single day, you know, you're in there. I'm like, why do we have to be here at 9? We don't even go out till 11.
For the rah, rah sisterhood bullshit in the beginning. Yeah.
So we do that. Then we get our assignments. Then we go out for like 2 hours and then we go to lunch. I'm like, y'all, I could just meet you guys after lunch. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing, bro? And we're in Texas and we're wearing nice clothes and we're walking house to house. And, you know, when you sell one of these cards for however much it is, you make half. Okay. Most of the cards were $20.
So you're making 10 bucks a card.
10 bucks a card. And you can literally be working from 9 to 9 and sell 2 cards. And then you have to pay your upline business basically for the cards too. So I don't even really much how much I brought home for the cards. I do remember during training, I got paid like the right amount for training. But on a daily basis, it was just, what was it? I think you have to sell 5 cards a day, every day for 2 weeks to be able to add someone to your team. So like your goal was to sell 5 cards every single day.
Oh, so they're even holding like recruiting above you. So it's like, oh, your friend wants to join because they really want to sell cards door to door too. But you haven't sold 5 cards a day for the consecutive amount of days. So you haven't unlocked the ability to have someone underneath you. And so either your friend waits or your friend gets put under somebody else.
I mean, if I ever even wanted anyone, because the way they did it is, you remember, we're at a job. So once you're ready to build your team, you get promoted and then you get to hire your team.
Oh, okay. So then you're placing the Craigslist ads and saying, I'm hiring.
Correct. But I'm not there yet.
Wow.
But I'm not there yet. Obviously, I never got there. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm just here. I'm on James's team. James needs 3 people on his team. Those 3 people need to have 1 person for him to have his own office. So that's what we were all working on. Like, we actually were trying, James and Sarah and me, and then I actually started dating someone at the time as well. And so we were all kind of doing like our own team. We were all trying to figure out how we can make it work, because a lot of things happened during this like little 3 to 6 months I worked there. Like, he was living with like 4 other people in an apartment when rent was $600 to $800, guys, just so that they could make rent. He was like, I don't pay my cell phone. My parents pay my cell phone if they want to talk to me. I don't have time for that.
What?
He was like, I'm here for a business. I want my business. The things that I was just like, bro, if you can't afford to pay your cell phone, he was like, I'll give up whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes. I almost had my business in wherever they were at, South, I don't know, before. And he had got pulled from his business. He was almost about to get his business, but because his upline got his business, he got pulled with his upline first. I don't know. Very weird.
It's just funny that you say that this guy's like, I'll do whatever it takes, except for getting a real job or paying my own bills. Anything other than that, I'm down for.
He's like, I've seen it. I know it. I was on the team. Like, he's just telling me, he was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. So then there's that going on. And then we have the girl, Sarah. She gets evicted because she can't make enough money. But she was also like riding with this dream. So finally, I was like, I had asked them, like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, finally, they actually like, well, we are ready to do our teams. We're going to switch lines in a different town. We're going to move up there. And I'm going to be an office assistant and make hourly money while James builds his team so we can pay bills. I don't know how that ended up happening. I have no idea. But I was like, okay, wait. So James moved here from South Carolina to start a business. Now you guys are going to move to Fort Worth so he can help start a business there. I think after like 3 or 6 months of that, they finally like moved back home. Because like they were literally, I just like, you are on a constant, you're on a constant circle. Oh, also we have family night where we all hang out, which is every Thursday, and you usually party because we're all young in college. That starts taking a toll on you. So I remember one time I was like 30 minutes late, like for a whole week. And they were like looking at me side eye and they're like, what's going on with you? I'm like, it's my business. I don't care if I'm late. Like, what are you talking about? We don't do anything.
Yeah. This is a meeting I come to every day. This meeting could have been an email. What are you? Yeah, exactly.
Send me my daily affirmation and then we can just talk about it later. So we were trying to build a team with these crazy ads in this Austin heat with a whole bunch of young kids who don't really know what's going on. They're having fun. We're just out there trying to have fun and sell some coupon cards and make our own businesses. It's a very interesting step. So needless to say, I never was able to sell more than 5 cards in one day, ever. But there were people that were doing it. So of course, I had a talking to.
Well, of course.
What's your why?
Of course. You're doing it wrong. What's wrong with you? Why can't you do this? Everybody else seems to be doing it. Yeah, what's your why? How can we rope you into this and manipulate you a little bit more? Well, I have a question, right? So you're making $10 per card and you're working 12 hours a day and you're trying to sell these cards and, you know, I don't know how long it takes at a door. Maybe you go to the first door, 10 minutes, you're like, of course I'll buy a card. You know what? I'm going to buy 3 cards because I've got a kid and I'm going to give one to my husband and we love Burger King and we're going to all get a card. So you sell a couple there. Maybe there's another couple doors that say no or aren't home or have a dog or a no soliciting sign and so you have to skip them. Maybe you sell another one here or there. I mean, I know I'm being a little gracious and saying like people are buying multiple cards, but how many cards do you have to sell per day for it even to be a livable wage? And how feasible is that when you're with a group of people canvassing a neighborhood you don't belong in and aren't familiar with? And you know what I mean? Like, how many cards is a good number of cards to sell per day where your upline would be like, oh, Deanne is on fire?
More than 5.
Just more than 5.
Like, if you do 10 cards a day, you're making basically like they're like, if you make $100 a day, you're on fire. So however much that equaled out to on the card. Because if you did $100 a day for 2 weeks, then you're ready to have your own team because you're consistent.
Right. Okay, well, let me pull up this calculator here really quick. I mean,
I'm sure at one point my senses came to me and I did the same math. And I'm like, I'm making like 75 cents an hour.
Right. Okay, so like best case scenario at 5 a day. And we're saying 12 hours, but let's say 10, right? Because you got a little bit of driving. There's a rah-rah meeting. So really maybe canvassing. To be fair, we'll say 10. Even then, like, you're not making very good money.
No. The reason that this got very cult-like, because you're only hanging out with these people. You're with them from the time you wake up. Most of these people live together. To the time you go to bed. You're up just talking about business, 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 business. So you're just staying in the cycle. I lived with somebody. My roommate was also doing it until he quit because of whatever. I can't remember, but smart for him. That's all it is. So like, you're just, even though you're not making enough money today, you're like, I'll do better tomorrow. Like, we got this. Who doesn't want Burger King? We'll find the right neighborhood. We'll make it work. We're literally daily paying ourselves. Like, how can we get it? However long I did okay, but I remember I had to borrow money from somebody to pay rent, and that was, like, my last, like, I was like, okay, if I don't do well, like, within these next whatever, and then I had my point. But yeah, there's no good money, but you are in, I hear you guys say it all the time, you're literally in it. You don't have a second to breathe. You are working 6 days a week, because we're working Saturdays, too. So Sunday's the only day and you're like barely alive and everyone's watching football or, you know, we're probably still hanging out together, eating and breathing this nonsense.
But I mean, in the beginning of this, you were like, yeah, they sort of kind of promised us like, you know, $10 an hour, which was unheard of in 2007, right? But to get the $10 an hour, like you have to bust your ass. You have to sell a card an hour. And you're telling me that if you're selling 5 cards in 10 hours, that you're a rock star, but 5 cards in 10 hours is $5 an hour.
Right.
It's not $10 an hour, which is less than hourly at McDonald's or Burger King or wherever, right?
Anywhere.
You'd make more money selling the free fries to the people who bought the cards from you than actually selling the cards.
You make a good point there. There is literally no way. And in Texas with that heat, you know, people were like, you know, there's moms out there and nurturing people are like, they really got you out here. It's 106 degrees. Like, you're wearing a suit jacket. Do you want some water? Like, more concerned about our health than the fact that we're out here trying to make a living.
So that's another commonality. Like when we talk about the episode we did with Anse, where she did Southwestern Advantage and was selling these books door to door as a student, as a teenager in another country, it was the same thing that she was like, oh yeah, it was the moms that were like, do you need a snack? Can I give you a drink? Do you want an apple? Are you okay? Have you eaten today? The other thing that she experienced that I'm going to ask you about, and maybe you didn't experience this because you guys were a little more picky and choosy with which houses you knocked on, but she mentioned having like guns and weapons pulled on her. Like, what the fuck are you doing on my porch? Did you ever experience anybody being like, can't you read the no soliciting sign, or I don't want you around here, or get off my, you know, like, did you ever experience any of some scary negative stuff?
I'm pretty hypersensitive in general. So like, even someone more like, it's Texas. A lot of really aggressive dogs, like just really aggressive dogs. Like, you more like, I'm not going there. That dog's gonna kill me. And I did a different job like that too, where I had to do, it wasn't door to door sales. It was for the community. And I would be like, we're not going there. More like, what do you want? And like getting in your faces, or like just through the door, like, can't you read, or leave us alone? Things like that. Mostly that. Not really. If it was negative, it would just be mostly stuff like that. And then, of course, you know, oh, we don't really want anything. We're not here to really bother you, sir. It's usually older people. We're just here. They got us out here asking people if they want these cards, like trying not to use the word sell, trying not to, you know, trying to get them to see it's not like a sell, but like, we just want to give you some information. And if you want to have it, we'll sell it to you. But if not, never mind. And sometimes they'd be like, oh, what you got there? And then sometimes they'd be like, get the hell out of here. Like, slam the door in our face, or fuck off, or, you know, stuff like that.
I mean, it's hard enough, like cold calling or cold messaging, which is, you know, kind of what happens nowadays. We got those hey hun messages. It's hard enough on that side to type up a hey hun or copy and paste a hey hun and send it and hope, oh, they saw it. I hope they say something, or I hope they're nice. It's already so much there, but you're literally in a neighborhood that you don't live in, dealing with people you do not know and will probably never see again, far out from your regular circumference and radius of where you live, door to door in their face. This is not a message that people can just block you. This is not a phone call that you can just be like, send a voicemail. This is someone at your door. Slamming a door in their face, or, you know, hiding behind the curtains pretending that you're not home or whatever because you don't answer the door. But like, this is a whole nother level of like uncomfortableness on both sides.
Yeah, it's really weird because now, no, of course, people be like, no, you're just introverted. But I was a really shy kid, like getting up and talking to people and strangers. Like, I still, as a manager, like, don't really like confrontation or even doing that. But even now, I'm like, wow, the confidence of myself to be like, I'm going to be a manager in like 2 weeks. Like, I'm just going to knock on these doors. People love me. I'm going to sell these cards. Like, why you guys have such a hard time? This is like the easiest thing you can do. Like, I literally, these are thoughts I thought until I'm like, wait, nobody has cash at home. One, nobody cares about this. Two, nobody wants you at their house, ma'am. Three, there's got to be a better way to do this. We did do businesses too. We would go to businesses too and try to sell them for like staff engagement, or just, you know, staff lunches or parties or gifts. Like, hey, like, wouldn't you guys like this movie thing would be really cool, or, you know, whatever. But we would sometimes get to go into businesses too, especially strip malls. Oh, they love a good strip mall, man. Let's go to a medical business strip mall. We'll be in there. And, you know, what's crazy is like, I'm a pretty girl. I know that. And like, I know that I have a curvy body. Well, right before we came, apparently there was like a team of girls, and like, they the guys would get mad at us because they're like, they used to bring in so much money. And I'm like, well, what were they doing? And like, we don't know. We just know like they would dress inappropriately and somehow always come back with all the money and the cards be gone. And we asked them, they finally came back. We're like, what would you guys do? And they're like, we would just shamelessly flirt and make sure we would not leave until they gave it to us. That we would not leave those business buildings. We would not leave those houses. We would not, like, we would not. We would just keep shamelessly flirting or like doing whatever we could to get these cards sold. They're like, we made thousands, thousands, and thousands, but we're not doing this business. We just, they're just scammers. Like, they just had that personality. I just told somebody today, I wish I had a scammer personality, because I think about that to this day, 20 years later, almost, like, how did they do it? Still, I want to know, like, what were you wearing? What were you saying?
What power do you have over these people? Sounds like pharmaceutical reps, to be perfectly honest with you.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, wait, that's what they tell you to do in pharmacy. But I just never got it. They're like, you guys, they basically told us you need to wear less clothes and you need to like look like
extra sexy.
Basically, you're ready to be there. Extra sexy, and that you definitely would go out with them even though you want. I'm like, do you just only talk to guys? Or like, we just try to. But they were also petite. They look different than me. I have a very curvy body. And I'm like, well, that's because that's how you guys look. Like, but I just still in the, I'm still very feminist. I cannot believe that guys will literally just buy anything because a girl talks to them. I don't believe it because I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
But to even have to be in a business where as a woman, you feel like doing this the normal way is not successful. I need to put the girls on display. I need to zhuzh up my face. I need to flirt inappropriately. I need to make innuendo jokes and
wear a shorter skirt. Yep.
Just to sell Burger King discount cards. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. You know what I mean? And hey, no shame, right? Like, we're not gonna shame on this.
No shame. I'm not shaming them at all.
But at the same time, absolutely, like, it's the fact that they had to do that at all, the fact that they were like, this is the best way to do it. I mean, it's just, it's not okay. It's just, it sucks that they had to do that. I don't think women should have to do that kind of bullshit.
They shouldn't. And I don't think, look, you do whatever you can to make money. That's how life works. I judge nobody, never have, never will. As long as no one's getting hurt and everyone's consensual, I'm fine with that. But I just really wanted to know how they got these cards sold, because you mean showing your boobs and wearing a super short mini dress? Like, cards are just flying out of, like, what are you saying? How are you interacting? How are you even getting the offices? Because they're like, we go to office buildings. We go to like law offices and stuff. I'm like, how do you get in there? Like, what? But that's crazy that this was a marketing business selling coupon cards, but you're having to do a lot more than that. I'm like, and I was like, I don't think that's necessary. Like, you shouldn't have to do that.
No. So how long did you last?
I want to say from May till October.
Okay. So 6 months or so. Nothing too crazy.
Nothing too crazy. Feels like a lifetime of PTSD events just because of how financially stressed I was the whole time. And then there was always some sort of drama. So that girl, Sarah, she was also living on her own. Her house got broken into. So then we all had to go deal with that, which might have been a scam. Don't know. Because remember, we're all fucking broke. Like, we have no money and like, we can't afford anything. So, I mean, if she scammed, good for her. Like, we had to get out. We had to get where we had to get. But it was like, even that day, they were like, we think that she had someone, one of the other guys she knows, come in here and take all her stuff. But we're just like, whatever, like, we're here, we'll help you clean up the mess, whatever. It's just crazy.
But like, I mean, that's even a red flag that you're in a business where you're like, I'm so broke, let's stage a robbery so that my team gathers together and pitches in to help me out. Like, if that's what happened, which I'm not saying it did, but I'm also not saying it didn't.
I'm not saying it did. I'm not saying it didn't.
Right. Allegedly.
Allegedly. But I do know for sure she had at one, she got evicted and she had to, like, I have to get out by tomorrow. So her family had to come. Everybody came. She wouldn't give up on James. James wouldn't give up on the business. So James, her, and Mike, who was my main upline, they ended up having a meeting of calling a whole bunch of people and getting him somewhere where they could at least make money so they didn't lose him, because he's one of their top sellers.
Wow. So at the end of this, 6 months in, how many cards do you think you sold total?
I know pretty much every day I sold at least 1 to 2 cards. I couldn't tell you. There were probably days I sold 4 or 5, but there were also days I sold none.
Okay. So a few hundred cards over the course of 6 months.
Probably something like that. Like it, the last time they sent me out on a road trip, I was not selling any cards. Like I was to the point where I saw all the red flags. I was like, what am I, like, why am I on this trip again? I'm out here. I'm paying for a room. The two people I was staying with, I'm pretty sure were hooking up. And like, I don't even think they were working. I think they were just doing whatever. And so like, I was just sitting there like, I am literally all by myself. And at the time, the guy I was dating was also still in the business. And I texted him like, will you still, like, this is how brainwashed it is. I was like, will you still be with me if I quit? And he was like, I don't care about this job. And I was like, I'm coming home.
He's like, I only do this because you did it and you told me I should. Like, I don't want to do this at all. Quit. I don't care.
He was actually only doing it part time, but he was so good that they didn't. He's a great guy. He still is a great guy. But he would like come in, he would go to his regular job, and then he would come at the evening time when you could actually sell cards. He's like, I'll only come when people are home. Like, I'm not going to do that. He would come, he would make his extra money, and then it almost just became to the point where it was just like fun to hang around your friends. Like we weren't really making any money. We weren't selling anything marketing. And then, you know, all the things were coming in. I'm like, I've never felt this destitute for money and I have a job. Like I've never done this. So finally, and I still couldn't get a job, guys. Like all this time, I'm still applying for regular jobs. I just want people to know that. I wasn't just like, this is the only way for me. Like, when I wasn't making money, I mean, I'm still working 6 days a week. I would try to just apply for other regular jobs. But this is also the time of the ATS and the assessment periods. If you guys remember all those personality tests we had to take. So an application could take you 2 hours, guys. Like this was a long time ago. So after that, I remember going home. And at the time, like we all still lived around each other. I was like, yeah, I quit. I'm not coming back. I'm out. And they're like, all right, cool. And like, I had to ask a friend to get me a job, but I finally did get out, you know, I got out of it. You can't get in debt. Like the only way you get in debt is to pay your bills. There's no like buying inventory. Like you're not buying the coupon cards. Like we're not buying those ahead of time. Thank God. I would definitely know I was scamming them. I'm like, I'm gonna sell these for however much I want, but we're not buying them. We're just being given them and told you go sell them.
You're just a commission-based, unpaid salesperson to just get the word out.
Yep, right. Just get these words out. And then my final straw was I was looking at the coupon card and I was like, this coupon card is actually sitting in my car from the weekly ad. It's in the groceries, like the ones that you guys, we get every week. The coupon card that people were paying $20 for was literally in the ad for free. Same thing. Same coupons, buy a sandwich, get 2 free fries, or like buy one, get one meals, or like this is when they started doing like 2 Whoppers and fries for $10, like the 2 meals for $10. Like, but I can no longer sell these cards because this is a scam. I would just tell people, don't buy this card, go look in your weekly ad. Like, I just couldn't do it anymore. I was like, I remember calling Sarah and be like, hey, did you know, have you really looked at this thing? Like, did you know that? And she was like, yeah, I kind of realized that a while ago. I'm like, I'm so done. Like, this is crazy.
You're all, we are not the same person. I have to quit.
We have to quit now. Like, I cannot deal with that. And, you know, my friend even told me at the beginning, sounds like a pyramid scheme. Same thing I told her. Hopefully it's not, but I don't have any other choices. You know, this is probably the only... besides Herbalife, because I know they have a standalone business, but I can't remember how they do it. This is the only one I know for sure that like you were hired, but you didn't buy anything. Like you're literally just going into work to make your commission. But they're telling you if you do it enough, you're going to get your own team and then you're going to get your own business. So keep going out there. The more you sell, then we know you're consistent. Then we know you can train. Then we know you can build your team. Then we know you're ready for your own business.
Wow. It's very strange. It's very strange. But it wasn't the last MLM you joined.
No, because I don't learn. I learn lessons, but don't learn lessons.
You're like, I'm not going to join another Smart Circle scam, but I might join a different MLM.
Oh, and also the last thing on Smart Circle is after I quit, if you Googled smartcircle.com, you could just go on there and buy whatever you wanted. Like you could buy any coupons you want. I think I looked before I came on here. It's not active anymore, but it was Smart Circle coupons. And when I got on there, I'm like, this is just like Groupon. Is that what they're trying to do? Door-to-door Groupon? That's what it basically was. But then in 2018, my friend's like, oh my God, there's this new thing called Color Street. And I was like, oh, I've never heard of it. And as soon as she told me about it, I was like, it's an MLM, but I know how they work. So let me work the system. If I'm gonna be a scammer, let me be a real scammer, right? Let me get in low so I can get people under me. So then, when that even line comes, I'll just quit. I'll be good because I'll make some money. Whatever. I know how the scam works. No, I don't know how the scam works.
I mean, you know now.
I know now. I know now. I was lucky not to really get into Color Street because I'm very careful with my money. Like, I grew up stressed about money. My mom always told us about our money problems. I try to like not have that in my daughter's life. I do let her know like money has value and we can't just be spending money. We were not born in the wealth class that we should have been. Sorry. So at the time, my friend, I was just buying Color Street from her, and I was buying them every 2 weeks because why not? I wasn't able to get my nails done at the time. I worked at a daycare and it was just too much. So I was like, this is perfect. And they do stay on for a long time. I wash my hands maybe 18 times a day when I'm at work, and that stuff was not budging. So she finally was like, you could get a kit. You could get a kit. You buy it so much. You could just get a kit and get your discount. You could get a kit. So finally looked into it a little bit, and I finally was like, I'll just get the kit. She's like, you should just get it. I think I want to say it was 250, I want to say, is what I bought my kit for. But in my kit, I was like, if I sell all of this, I will have paid this credit card off, which is only $250. That's not even a lot in my mind. I'm like, to start my business, whatever. Once I sell all these, I'm only gonna buy what is needed. I wanted to do like the pre-order route, kind of, is what I was thinking. So I was doing pretty good on that, but then I realized I'm really not making any money, but I still kept doing it for a little while because my mom was like, if you send them to me, I can sell them to my friends here. And she was, but then I realized I think the things were $12. I would make six, but then with shipping, their shipping, and then my shipping, and then her having to, it was just, I'm like, mom, I'm not making money, but I'm not losing money. I'm not going to keep buying anymore because of that. Like, it really was like a flash in the pan. Like, I just was like, I can't afford my credit card payment because these things aren't really selling. And then the other person I sold to, she joined under my friend too. So then I couldn't even sell to her anymore.
Your data is like gold to hackers. They're selling your passwords, bank details, and private messages. McAfee helps stop them. Secure VPN keeps your online activity private. AI-powered text scam detector spots phishing attempts instantly. And with award-winning antivirus, you get top-tier hacker protection. Plus, you'll get up to $2 million in identity theft coverage, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
I can say to my new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra, hey, find a keto-friendly restaurant nearby and text it to Beth and Steve. And it does, without me lifting a finger, so I can get in more squats anywhere I can. One, two, three.
Will that be cash or credit?
Credit. Four.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that does the heavy lifting so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with select apps requires Google Gemini account. Results may vary based on input. Check responses for accuracy.
I think some of these MLMs that have like relatively inexpensive products where you're getting a pretty high commission, I mean, even a 50% commission, which is a good commission for MLM, right? a lot of MLMs have like a 15, 25% commission. So getting a 50% commission is a great commission. But when it's only on $10, $12, it's really not that much money. So then we get into this weird conundrum of the MLM where it's like the unrealistic quantity that you have to sell to make a livable wage. You're selling nail stickers that last a week, 2 weeks. So people really only need like two sets a month if they're doing their nails. Sure, it's far less than a manicure at a nail salon. So it's cheaper. So you're like, okay, like I can just put these on. I don't have to find the time to go to the salon. I can put these on while I'm watching my TV shows at home. They're cute. They're fun. It's real polish. It's great. Whatever it is, you know?
It was great. But then I started getting the texts. Hey, don't forget about our call. Hey, don't forget about your orders. And I already am like I'm already jaded, so I wasn't buying into it. I was already halfway out when I was halfway in. So I was just like, oh, so this is what this is like. Don't forget to jump on the call. I don't remember the main guy's name. He dropped a video. Make sure you go watch it. Orders are due on this time. You know, if you want to do your, I don't remember any of the qualifying things because I did not care about any of that. I'm talking like maybe 3 months. I was like in it. And then my friend, or I was like, can you tell them not, I'm out. Like, I don't care about selling anymore. Like, I was annoyed. I did never even got deep, but I was like, why do you guys have these calls? Like, I would get on them and I'm like, this is stupid. Like, it would just be like, well, they did drop the pedicure one while I was in there. They dropped the toe ones. So that one was kind of a big deal. Like, that was actually, you know, I was in their order in mine because my mom was like, I need them. I need them, you know? And I was like, these colors are so cute. And he's, and I did. I mean, I use mine. But it's almost like the ADHD of it is just exciting at first. And then like, nobody, okay, some people do. I never do my nails consistently at home. Never. I'm not doing them every Friday. I'm not doing them twice a week. If I have my nails on, I barely go every 3 weeks. But that's just not a consistent thing I do. I get super into it for maybe a few weeks, Christmas time, a holiday, whatever. And then I'm like, it's a lot of work. I'm not doing that anymore. I don't want to really soak my feet right now.
I'm a sucker for a holiday nail. I was like, oh, are those ghosts and pumpkins? Are those little Christmas trees? Is that a little red truck with a little green Christmas tree? I need it. Like, I'm a sucker for it. But the rest of the year, I'm like, I don't need nails. They just break off. They just pop off. They just, then I'm walking around looking all janky because I'm missing a thumb and a middle finger. And it's like, I left my glue at home. It's kind of obnoxious, you know?
It is obnoxious to have all that going on. So I was like really into it. I think it was summer when I was in it. So the super cute summer patterns. But by fall and like the money, I'm like, I'm not ordering anything. It's not worth it. I'm not going to make anything. And then I learned like everybody knows about Color Street. I was like, how does everybody know about Color Street? But like me and everybody I talked to who are all from different places and we've all never heard of it. I couldn't like go to any vendings or anything. Like there was no, they're like, we already have somebody. We already do that. We have more than enough. And I'm like, all right, it's oversaturated.
Yeah. It was already oversaturated when you found out about it, but you didn't know that because you'd never heard of it. You asked friends, have you ever heard of this? No, I've never heard of this. What is it? They're nail stickers? Oh my God. What a game changer. You know, and you're like, oh, I'm getting in good. If I'm going to do this MLM, like you said, if I'm going to scam, I'm going to scam the right way. I'm going to get in early. I'm going to get in good. I'm going to get these things. I'm going to sell it. But you had no idea it was already oversaturated at that point.
Had no idea. No idea. I was completely clueless. They don't tell you, like, it wasn't like my friend was like, oh, there's like 50 people on my team. She didn't tell me that she was on a team. Like, she didn't tell me that her upline had like six legs. And like she was, you know, doing the most. And but my friend, she stayed in it for a long time. But hers, she could tell her own story. But hers, I don't even think was about that. She just really enjoyed it. And then one day she was like, I don't want to do it anymore. And she had a backlog. Like she was like, I just started posting, like, come get this container, $100. She's like, I don't know. It's probably way more than $100 worth of stickers in there. I don't know. I just was over it and I wasn't actively selling and I didn't care. And I mean,
even when you just go as a fan for the discount and say, well, let's just try again, these MLMs that sell these inexpensive things.
It's not even worth it. It's not even worth it for the discount. It's not. Because then guess what happened like 3 months after that? Walmart started selling their own, like another line of them.
Yeah, the Incoco. It's owned by the same company, by the way.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, so I don't need to pay for shipping. I'll just go pick them out when I want them. And then I'll be done. And I literally just threw away the last of my Color Street from 2018.
Yeah, that's what's so interesting. Like you mentioned Walmart, because I tell people, I'm like, they sell the same exact thing at Walmart. It's under the brand called Incoco. And it's the same exact company. It's the same manufacturer, the same company, just different names. The only thing that's different is the really fun prints, the holiday stuff, the limited edition is only Color Street. So you can go to Walmart literally right now today and go get like pink and whites, pink, black, you know, basic colors, basic prints, basic. And that's it. If you want the really wild, cool, cutesy, popular, what's going on right now stuff, you have to go through a Color Street rep. Like you have to.
Or you have to find Target has the cute ones now, just so everybody knows.
Target's got cute ones too. Like Dashing Diva and stuff. Like those are great brands.
Yes. Dashing Diva, they are so great. Like there's much better options. It's just like you said, I had no idea. I really thought I was getting good. And then when I found I was oversaturated, I was like, Mom, you can buy what you want, because my mom lives in Kansas. So when even my mom never heard of it, all the way in Kansas and I'm in Vegas. And I was like, just tell me what you want. I'll buy that's the last of it. I'm not going to buy anything else off the site, and then we'll just be done. And then I'll keep what I want and I'll use them. All this time, out of all like the 12 I had left over, I probably used 3. And it's been 6 years. Like I opened a pack to use for something and I was like, well, these are dried out. Like I don't know. I was just like, I was in and I was out and I was okay with it. I'm better at my, you know, boundaries. So even at that time, I was like, okay, I'll jump on this call. And then they were talking about numbers and ranking. And I was like, I don't really care about that. And like, I just would be on the call to be on the call. I never bought in. I was never going to buy into Color Street. I was just in there to make money. And if I wasn't going to make money, I was going to get out. So that's what I did.
Right. And like I said, with this, you know, like this unrealistic quantity, these MLMs that sell really cheap things, you have to sell so much. I'm talking like paparazzi, $5 jewelry, these like $10 nail sheets, these like $5 wax melts, these things that are very inexpensive. When you're getting commission on that, it's dollars. It's just a few bucks. So you have to sell so many, which is so unrealistic. Nobody needs 47 costume necklaces. Like they just don't. Nobody needs, especially if the nail stickers last 2 weeks, you don't need 100 packs of nail stickers. That's 2, 3, 4 years worth of nail stickers for yourself.
That's what I told my mom. I'm like, Mom, you're getting excited. You only need like 2 or 3 at a time. Because like, you know, we would overlay them or something like that. I'm like, and you're going to have extra. Remember, that was like the marketing tool. You're not going to use all of them this time. So you're marketing that it's a time saver and they're not going to need to do this thing that often. While at the same time, you're pushing them to buy. We can't do that. That's not business. Like they don't need it. So either you have to have a very large market or you have to have one person who really likes to do their nails all the time.
It's just, it's unrealistic. It's absolutely unrealistic.
You can't make any money.
I mean, you really got to push a lot of nail stickers to make a livable wage. It's just ridiculous. It becomes your whole life.
I couldn't tell you how many coupon cards you'd have to sell. I don't know how. I can't remember. I wish I still had the numbers. I had a notebook at one point, but my life has been a little crazy, so I'm sure I lost it. But we had written down like all the notes and all that stuff. How many coupon cards? How many of this, how many of that, you know, same thing that they do with your income disclosure, but like they showed us our pyramid, like what we would have to do and how much we would have to make before we would be able to have our own standalone business. Why that business looked so crappy, because that was the only rent that he could afford based on the commissions he was getting from his team.
Yeah. So now that you've been through these, and especially the business side of it with the Craigslist and the getting a job, what are some of the red flags that people who are looking for jobs now that are going on Craigslist, because I know they're still, it's not Craigslist anymore. It's like Indeed and Monster and LinkedIn. But like, what are some of these red flags when you apply, when you go into the interview? What are some things that wouldn't be a red flag to anybody who maybe doesn't listen to this show or doesn't understand this, but red flags that you looking back now are like, oh, that was definitely a red flag.
Okay. So definitely a red flag, entry level marketing. I see it all the time. That term, entry-level marketing, now hiring entry-level marketing, because I don't think an entry-level marketing company is going to say that. They're going to probably look for a marketing assistant, a marketing intern, a marketing something. Every time I see entry-level marketing something something, I go and look up the website right away, or I review it, see if there's any scam reviews. Because like you talk about before, you know, Grace Marketing is not Smart Circle. You would have no idea. You just be like, oh, Grace Marketing. That's what I thought. I didn't, you know, really go deep into it. Like, they're not connected to Smart Circle. So if Smart Circle has bad reviews, doesn't necessarily mean Grace Marketing does, even though it's the same thing. So I try to look at the website and just also kind of see what's going on there. Back then, we didn't have websites. Another thing is, it's the way that they lay out, like their bullet points are very like repetitive. If you've seen an ad like it before, it's the same company. And they have big names like Vector Marketing. You guys have heard of that. There's some things that just seem very like, oh, that's real. I'm looking for a job. So I see them all the time. It's usually entry-level position. And then the way, so when they're asking your qualifications, be like willing to learn. Things that are very, very simple that someone with a college degree or any experience, you know, you're not going to make $75,000 if this is your very first job, right? Most of the time, if this is your very first marketing job, you're not going to make $75,000 when there is a range, $75,000 to $100,000 plus commission. Whenever it says plus commission, usually I know you're probably going to get set up for some sort of sales scam or marketing ploy of some sort. Out here in Vegas, it's a lot of the AT&T, I guess, and the Verizon and stuff like that. Like they'll pull you in. And then of course, which I didn't even know, thanks Roberta, that like Smart Circle and Vector, those are the Costco and stuff places too. I didn't know that. But those are, you know, $20 an hour. I did see one actually say $20 per session this time, because I heard you talking about that on one of your episodes. So that's, at least they have to be honest. I don't know what platform I saw that on, but it did say $20 per session. Well, just think about that. $20. Yes, if you're only going to go do something every Saturday for 2 hours, okay, cool. But you only made $10 an hour. What else are they going to be asking for? I really look at the wording and the salary range. They need to match. If it's like no experience necessary, but we'll pay you $75,000, that doesn't match. Like, it's just like the scam that you would see, you know, someone trying to take your check or other jobs like that. If there's not any, I want to say company information at the bottom, but I have seen like it'll just kind of stop. The ad just stops out of nowhere. It doesn't say like equal opportunity employer, any other information down there. Usually it's either a scam or it's one of these types of companies. Luckily, I haven't gotten pulled in. But there is another one that I just got. I get it all the time and I forget. And I'm always like, I'm going to do it just to see, you know, just to see. But I'm like, I don't even care. But if they start off with, we'll give you an automatic information session. Don't do it. You don't need it. It's probably marketing or some sort of scam or pyramid scheme. Like I applied somewhere and they were like, start your initial meeting now. I have had no interview. I've had, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, no.
Over eager is a red flag.
That's a little, yes. If they're like, you can start today, this week. Jobs now take a week or two, guys. Like, you're not really going to start tomorrow because they have to do your I-9. They have to do your banking. Like, you might in some temp agencies be able to do it because they have a quicker paperwork process. But like a big level marketing place, no, because they're probably going to do reference checks. They're probably going to want to see your portfolio or some sort of, you know, efforts of your work or your degree. If it's just like, hey, we can start you now and you're going to make $75,000 and you don't need a college degree or anything. Yes, it sounds like obviously, duh, but we are in a world where everyone needs to make $75,000. So for a kid who doesn't know any better, that you do have to, you know, that's not how the world works. $20 an hour is not enough right now, but in the financials of businesses, that's a lot of money to make. So if you're not understanding that, you know, even as a 20-year-old working at Costco, making $20 an hour is a good job, of course you're going to think, well, it's a possibility, you know. It's a possibility. I could, and then they're talking about owning your own business and making money every day and those are just things that you need to look out for. I see them all the time. And I wish there was a way on some of these apps to put that this is actually a spam or a scam business. Like, but there's no way for me to be able to market or do anything with it.
Yeah. So if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, which, you know, that's kind of the obvious one. But also these kind of strange terms, if anything seems a little like wonky, where you're like, what does that even mean? I think sometimes people are so excited to be like, oh my God, a job opportunity in the range I want with the experience I have. Oh my God, this is amazing. And you really let a lot of this stuff sort of fly over your head where you're like, that's kind of a lot for somebody who doesn't know anything or whatever. Or even if you go to one of these, you know, you show up and the office is really dingy, but everybody looks like they're wearing really nice suits. That's a red flag. Everybody's got really expensive cars outside. Like, they're probably leases. That's kind of a red flag too. Like, why are there all these Lambos in this crappy parking lot? Anything that looks really super duper out of place, like it's too good for where it's at, is also going to be these red flags.
And I would also say like really short interview times or like a lot of interviews going on at the same time. Yes, there are places who do that. They're doing I do phone interviews for 15 minutes. But if you're going in person and they're like, we can do 11, 11:15, 11:30 or 11:45, that's not probably a good idea either, because you're actually going in there to interview. That every 15 minutes is not long enough for an interview, 30 at the minimum to an hour. So anything like that or anything too eager or like, let's tell you about your new job right away and you have not talked to anybody, that's probably not going to be a good one to continue on. Anything like that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's okay. You know what? You don't have to love your job. Your job doesn't have to be amazing and have like amazing benefits or amazing salary. Like sometimes jobs are just jobs. Sometimes you get a job and you're young and you don't have a ton of experience and you work stocking shelves at Costco or you flip burgers at In-N-Out Burger or you're, you know, a cashier at the grocery store. And those are good jobs. Just because you're not owning your own business or driving a Lamborghini or running an office doesn't mean that those aren't good jobs. And listening to stories on this podcast, we start to realize like, maybe some of these just regular 9-to-5 jobs, those are the ones where you're making money. These MLMs, you're siphoning out so much of your earning because you're told, well, you just have to pay more into it because, you know, every small business takes 2 years to make money. And so you're believing all this platitude and this bullshit that's not even real because you're not actually in a business. You're in a scam and all bets are off in a scam. So for them to even say like, this is what business is, it's not a business. So the red flags are slapping you across the face.
They're just everywhere. It was a really hard time in my life. Like just even now, like, you know, everyone looks back like, how dumb are you? But I wasn't. Like, I literally was like, I have no other choice. I had no other choices at the time. I just had to get from A to B. And then, you know, I've worked in the corporate world and I've worked really hard as a salaried manager and I've worked my butt off to get all the way to where I am. And sometimes it's just a job. Like, they're gonna continue their work too. So why don't you just work somewhere where you're gonna make a decent living? And if wherever that's at, the garbage company, the gas station, wherever, don't sell yourself a dream. You're still successful. Like, you can still be successful. The keeping up with the Jones lie we've been told for a long time is just so we will keep spending our money. You're fine. You're fine with your hand-me-down furniture. Everybody loves your couch. Nobody cares that your Tupperware doesn't match. Nobody is like, everyone tells me all the time because I get stressed. They're like, we don't care that you don't have like the perfect Instagram house. Everyone's house is messy. You're just a person. You have a kid. Life is going on. It's okay.
I always say, I'm sorry. We live here.
Yeah.
It's like, there's going to be dirt. There's going to be dishes in the sink. Memories are being made. We live here every day. Gets dirty. Sorry.
I pay for that. We're here, but we're not. So like, we don't have time to clean. So sorry, but it's okay. Your success. My brother is always telling me, he's like, but what's your rich life? It's something he heard on another podcast. If you know what podcast it's from, you could probably tell Roberta, because I'm sure she'd love to hear it. He tells me about it all the time. But the financial advisor always, he tells me what's your rich life is based on like what's important to you. Like just because everyone's driving like 2024 cars, is that important to you? Is it important to you to really have that mansion in Malibu Beach? Or is that just like someone was like, that's a nice house and it'd be nice to live there. Like, is that a real dream for you? Or would you like to eat Chipotle every single day? Because that can be part of your rich life and then you just budget for it. Like, it's all about, in reality, like, what do you want your life to look like? And that can be successful. It's not, you know, money and cars.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And, you know, that's, there are definitely things in my life that I cut corners on. Where, like, I have a really good deal on rent. And, you know, I drive a car that's a little older, but it's paid for. And there's things like, sure, I could get a new car. Sure, I could get a different place. Like, you know, but where I'm at in my life now, I also get to, my rich life is we're going to go out to dinner or we're going to go to that concert or we're going to have season passes to that place that we like to go to. And I tell that to Abby all the time. I'm like, do you want this or do you want that? Do you want a really nice car and a really nice apartment? Or do you want to go see Taylor Swift Eras Tour? Do you want to go to SeaWorld? Do you want to go to Universal Studios? Like, we can't have all of it, unfortunately. So pick your battles, pick what you want, pick what, you know, makes you happy. I'm lucky I have a great job that I love, but I'm also 43 years old and it took me going through a pyramid scheme to get it. So there's adversity here. You know, you roll with the punches, you do what's best, you go from this place to this place and you try to be better every single day. And that's how you get to the top of your rich life. What you deem is what is appropriate and what you want in your life, because you are the only person who can live your life. Who cares what the Joneses are doing? Who cares if the neighbor got a new boat? You're not going on the boat. If you want a boat, save up for a boat. If you don't really care, that's okay. You can also rent a boat. It's all right. You don't have to buy a boat. You want to go out on a boat? Go out on a harbor cruise. It's totally fine. You can have a rich life without being underwater.
Yes. And you you know, you're exactly right. I say it all the time. We don't need to do that. It's just a perpetual cycle to either make somebody somewhere money. That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for sharing your story and giving us a different perspective. I love the door-to-door aspect. That's how MLM started. So hearing stories about MLMs that are still doing door-to-door stuff is just fascinating to me. And then also, you know, it's the magazine sales of MLM selling these discount cards or books or whatever it is. Stuff people don't need. You're like, buy this discount so you can buy the thing that you don't need at a discount. You're like, ah. So I just want to say thank you so much, Deanne, for coming on and sharing your story and being so vulnerable. Do you want to do some rapid fire questions with me?
Of course.
All right, Deanne, give me one word that encompasses how you feel about multi-level marketing.
Intolerable.
Ooh, that's a good word. I like that. Give me a piece of advice to somebody who's on a job site, who's looking for a job, and who keeps coming across MLMs and seeing these red flags. What do you think they should do?
There is now on a lot of them, especially on your phone, dismiss, dismiss, dismiss. And those type of jobs will stop coming up. Put them in your spam in your when they come through your mail. Like I got one, especially a lot of remote jobs, guys. Remote jobs are kind of going away. So if you're seeing some, like, make sure you're looking at the ad too, because they'll put remote, but then in the ad, it'll say on-site. But when it comes to the scams, just, you know, make sure you're looking at that and check the websites, because sometimes there's like no links to links, like apply here for a job that you just applied for. This just happened to me and there's no jobs there, but I just applied for that job. So where's the jobs? So just look at things like that as you're going through. These are, you know, it's hard looking for a job and you want to get a better job. Of course, right? And you want to make a lot of money, but be realistic when you're looking at the ads. Think to yourself, like, does this company sound familiar to me? And Google's our best friend. I kid you not. Google, whatever company, bad reviews. Whatever company, scam. Whatever company, because they do change names. They do. Like, I even saw one that was like, oh, well, my name was this, but we also go by this. And then it's that. The company I told that I just applied for is called Red Rock Horizon. If you're in Las Vegas, don't apply there. But that's what they just took me through. But I wanted to go through it because I want to. I'm just also very like a little bit autistic and have to see that I'm right. So I had to see that I was right. I was like, I have to make sure like I'm not missing an opportunity, but I also want to see how the scam's going because I want to make sure that, you know, if I am telling the information, it's the correct information.
Yeah. Give me the worst MLM in your opinion.
Okay. I'm going to just say like churches and their programs.
Oh.
In general, because I know. A lot of MLMs, they are backing it from the church. So in essence, like when I go into churches and I see all these books they're selling and all the coffees they're selling, they're creating something in there. I don't know what's going on, but I know it's just not regular sales. I know there's got to be other things going on in here. And then like with the Hillsong and the branches and the this and the that. And the reason I just say them is because there's one person that started this and they had this in mind and then they just kept it rolling. And now people are over tithing or paying back or doing things that are not in the Bible. Like, it's just be there for your people. Just be there for your people. That's where the money's supposed to go.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
That's where money's supposed to go. So put it back in your community.
Yeah. What is the hardest lesson that you learned during your time in MLM?
Probably that your dreams can be crushed, but you can always start over. I get knocked down pretty hard when I get knocked down. But when I get up, I'm always like raring to go. Like, I'm like, all right. I really failed. Like, I failed that big time. I didn't know what I was doing. All right, let's go. Like, let me have my little moment. I'm going to cry about it first. I'm going to throw a fit. I'm going to be angry. But when I get my problem solved, when in my brain I have a plan, there's really nothing that can stop me. So your dream, you can fail, but you can get back up.
I love that. And finally, give me a positive takeaway. I mean, that last answer was pretty positive, but another positive takeaway from your time in MLM.
Honestly, I did meet some amazing people. Like, I didn't have asshole people like some of these people experience. Like, the only harsh thing I had was like, why are you coming late to morning meeting? And that was like a week before I quit. But like, I remember more like partying and having fun than I remember the business. Like, we made good memories. We had a good time. You know, I learned a lot. Those are positive things for someone who didn't really have like a community when they were growing up. Like, for those little 4 to 6 months, that was my family. And we really laughed hard. We cried hard. We learned a lot together. So, you know, in the end, I literally didn't even think it was an MLM until probably episode 100 that I was listening to you. I'm like, I think that was an MLM. Like, I should probably, interesting. So for 20 years, almost 15 years, I just was like, I was in this weird thing once.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right in the right place now. You're good. You're a part of this community now.
I'm happy I'm here.
Yes. Well, I'm happy you're here too. Thank you so much, Tian. This was so fun.
Of course. It was so fun.
Really appreciated this.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I hope you have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast or visit our website at lifeaftermlmpod.com. And don't forget to check out our Patreon for exclusive content and join the community on Discord. You can find all of the links to follow in our show notes. Life After MLM is produced by Roberta Blevins. Audio editing is done by the lovely Kayla Craven. Video editing by the indescribable RK Gold. And Michelle Carpenter is our Triple Emerald Princess of Robots. If you have a story about a cult, fraud, scam, or MLM and want to be on the show, please hit us up. We would love to help you tell your story and start your healing journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Hunts.